Today on Real Radio.
That's what the soldier did. He took the girdle and he would wrap it around him. It was very thick leather. And he would wrap his vitals. Because if you took a hit in your vitals, you're going to die. And so what does this mean? Paul's telling us to wage a good warfare. You better wrap yourself up with good doctrine, biblical doctrine, not some tradition or what feels good. What does the Bible say?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through two letters written by Paul to Timothy. We're in the first chapter of the first of these two canonical letters to young Timothy. Paul not only regarded Timothy as his son in the faith, but he came through with flying colors in encouraging Timothy, who evidently was experiencing difficult circumstances as an overseer of a local body of believers. It's a presentation taken from chapter 1 as well as other scriptural passages. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Paul is encouraging Timothy, be faithful to your duty. And I got to say this right now. If we were talking about how to be successful, if we ran an ad in the paper and said, successful seminar at Calvary Chapel, this place would have been packed this morning. Christian principles for business, film and slideshow, this place would have been packed. Terry Clark here this morning, place would have been packed. You know what? Commitment to a life of hardship and discipline, spiritual warfare, personal commitment to Christ in the way of your Christian duty. There would have been, hey, look, come on, some of you would have stayed home this morning. Oh, man, commitment. And that's exactly the problem with the church, predominantly in America, is that we're sleeping. Because I mentioned duty and you go, legalism, legalism, legalism. Nobody talked about duty more than Paul the Apostle, who was the man of grace. Nobody talked more about duty than Paul. Legalism towards salvation, wrong, rejected, unscriptural. But a disciplined, committed life to Christ in the way of Christian work and duty, absolutely. And we don't want to hear that in this day. I tell you this now, and I mean this from the depths of my heart, more often than I'd like to admit, it's Friday, it's Saturday, but Sunday's a-coming, and my heart is heavy. I don't want to come here. I want to go to church somewhere else. I felt God may not have spoken to me the way I wanted him to, or then when he does speak loud and clear, I don't know, God, are you going to help me to get this out? And then all the cares and the things that are pulling on us. And then there's times when I just don't feel like being a Christian. Not that I want to be a heroin addict, but I don't feel like being a Christian. I want to sleep in sometimes. And the thing is, it's my Christian duty that I don't do that. It's not because, oh, I want, boy, I'd like to be more like you and always leaping and bounding in the Spirit. Hey, man, I'm telling you, if God doesn't speak to me through these words of Paul the Apostle, I'm dead. I'd roll over and die like Timothy's doing. And the only thing that keeps me coming up here and standing before your faces is my duty. Is my duty. A mother awakes in the middle of the night to the crying of her newborn. What is her duty? Go in the other room and go back to sleep? Or get up and begin to feed and to nourish and to strengthen that little lamb? It is my duty. And no man takes this upon himself. I do not know how men who are in the ministry who have never been called by God maintain. I don't understand it. Timothy's dejected, he's tired. And here is a beautiful thing. According, Timothy, to the prophecies which previously were made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. First of all, in 1 Timothy 4:14, there seems to be a statement that leads us to believe that Timothy was hesitant, that he was a little reserved about getting involved in the ministry. And so 1 Timothy 4:14 says, do not neglect or put under a bushel the gift that you have, which was given to you by prophecy, which by the laying on of hands of the elders, Timothy says in verse 15, meditate, muse, consume on these things. What things? Timothy, you've been called into the church of Jesus Christ by the elders laying hands upon you and prophecy being spoken. And that's a heavy thing. I want you to realize something. This is my personal opinion. So this is not in the Bible. But I believe and I'm convicted and convinced of this very thing. If you are going to be called into the ministry, I believe that it will be done the way Paul is describing it here. If you are going to be called full-time into the ministry as a pastor or as a full-time evangelist, I believe that it will be done by God, first of all, anointing you. Second, the elders recognizing the anointing, not you holding up your sign saying, lay hands on me, I've been anointed. But trusting the Lord enough for God to speak to elders and they move and they place their hands upon you and prophesy over you and send you into the ministry. Now, let me tell you something right now. If that was applied, as it is in 1 Timothy 4:14 and here in verse 18, if that was a mandate in so many churches, a lot of people would have to leave the ministry because they might be there for success reasons or for, you know, they wanted a lot of golf time or something. They're there for the flesh. They may be Christians, but one of the things that we notice in the ministry quickly is that there are people who want to be up front because it strokes their ego. If that be the situation, God will not call, or he'll certainly humble that person. And I can only speak from experience. Paul the Apostle says, I'm not going to tell you anything unless I first experienced it. And these are heavy things. I want to read you this story. How many of you heard of John Knox? Anybody? Nobody. One guy. God bless you. You need to read about great Christian men and women. How about Amy Carmichael and Fanny Crosby? And you read about these people. And it so blows your mind, you want to be just like them. John Knox. He was a very shy man. He was a man who totally understood the scriptures. And he began to teach a private Bible study there at St. Andrews near the cliffs there in Europe. And he's teaching and the ministry's growing. People are coming. And every time somebody would come, he'd get all sick to his stomach. And he would encourage them to go away. Why are you here? He would say. We want to hear the word of God. There's a call upon your life. Don't say that, he would say. Don't say that. And he would get all upset. John Knox, your life is blessed this morning because of John Knox, though you don't know who he is. I want to read this to you. The calling and the work upon his life was so evident and so beautiful that the church had gotten together and they went to their pastor and they said, it is evident that John Knox is called into the ministry. And the pastor said, you bet he is. And they said, appoint him. And he said, I've been trying to appoint him for months. He avoids me. And so they conspired. And when John Knox was present in church on Sunday, this is what happened. The pastor, in the middle of his message, stopped pointing a finger at John Knox in the middle of a service. That's like me going to a dare, like this. Brother, you shall not be offended, albeit that I speak to you that which charge I have, even from all those who are here present, which is this, in the name of God, and in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the name of all of these people, by the charge of my mouth, I command you that you refuse not this holy calling, but that you may take it upon yourself, the public office as preacher, even as you look to avoid God's heavy displeasure and desire that you shall receive the multiple graces upon you. When John Knox heard this statement, he looked around at the people and asked, "Are you in agreement with this?" And they said, "We are." Can you imagine? Abashed, bursting forth with abundant tears and great crying, he ran and withdrew himself from church and entered into his chambers. His countenance and his behavior changed from that day till the day that he was compelled to come out publicly and preach was one of great dearth and misery. His face is hanging down. Isn't that incredible? And then John Knox went on to be one of the greatest men of Christianity that has ever lived. Years later, a great man of God, was standing next to his gravesite, and who knew him. And he said, "God used this man so mightily, and yet I'd never seen such a weak human being. He was always fearful. Everywhere he went, his knees would knock together when he went into the pulpit. And God's hand would be on him, and he would move." I tell you that to encourage you. Are you discouraged? Are you wiped out? Are you thinking, you know, God could never use me, ever? Well, you know what? I got to tell you that that's exactly the kind of heart that God wants to use. Because there's three things in the ministry that are absolutely essential to get kicked out of the ministry. That is grabbing the glory. And this is from Billy Graham, by the way. Grabbing the glory. Grabbing the gain, bucks. And grabbing the girls. Girls, Billy Graham says, gain and glory are the three reasons why God would remove a man from ministry. Heavy thing, either in action or intent of their heart, and that being exposed, God removes people from ministry. And so if you're broken and contrite in spirit and you say, you know what, I love the Word of God, I love Jesus, I love His people, but I can't do those things. I mean, there's no power within me to do that. God will enable you. And He'll call you and He'll equip you. Paul's charge comes to Timothy, Paul's calling, and then the battle. He says to him there in verse 18, "The prophecies previously made concerning you, Timothy, that by them." And if you have in your Bible a pen, I'd circle that, because I've got it circled in mine, and I tell you, by them. I lean back at that. When it's hard and when the going is rough, you lean back and you say, "Wait a minute. I'm a bank teller by the will of God. I'm walking in the middle of the will of the Lord. And by that, by God appointed me, by them, by me being there." You pray about a job. You pray about a wife. You pray about a husband. And God gives you an answer. And 5 years down the road, you're in your marriage and things really look like the pits. You know what? How often do you lean back on God's answer? When I married my wife, I was scared to death that day. I was just scared to death. I couldn't exactly tell you why, because she was the most wonderful woman I've ever met in my life. So what was I afraid of? I don't know. But I know this, as hard times come along in your Christian marriage, you need to know, and I knew that this was God's woman for my life. That will keep you at home. That will keep you pure. That will keep you clean. When you're in that job and you know God has given you that job, it keeps you from quitting in that heat of the moment when somebody steps on your toes. Because it's your duty. You've been there by the will of God. Makes all the difference in the world. That will keep you healthy and going in the ministry or in your life by knowing that you've been placed there by the will of God. And so Paul says to Timothy, by them, Timothy, the prophecies, you may wage the good warfare. Philippians 3:18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ." You're going to get involved in your job or get involved in your marriage or get involved in your ministry, and the enemy's going to attack. You can't turn around and run. A lot of people do, but you cannot. You will come against the enemy. You will be coming against people who are against the cross. They'll come against a lot of things. You need to stay firm, and you'll battle them. How do we battle? In this battlement that he's talking about waging a good warfare here, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, and I know you're familiar with it, Paul says to us, the soldiers of the cross, therefore take up the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, the days of attack, and having done all to stand, you stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That means good doctrine. You take doctrine and you wrap it around your tummy, protecting all of your vital organs. That's what the soldier did. He took the girdle and he would wrap it around him. It was very thick leather. And he would wrap his vitals. Because if you took a hit in your vitals, you're going to die. And so what does this mean? Paul's telling us to wage a good warfare. You better wrap yourself up with good doctrine, biblical doctrine, not some tradition or what feels good. What does the Bible say? And you wrap yourself with that, he says. And then he says, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness that God supplies and provides in Jesus Christ. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all, not some, but all of the fiery darts of the enemy. That word fiery darts in the Greek is the word bellows. And it's a beautiful word. It's where we get our English word now, missile. Isn't that great? If you're wrapped up in good doctrine and in the word of God and a good soldier of the cross, you will be able to quench, extinguish all of the Scud missiles coming in. The missiles, or with Satan, it would be scum missiles, maybe. And you'll be able to quench them. By faith, you got your shield up and you pull out the word of God, because look what he says in Ephesians 6, 17. Take the helmet of salvation. And then he says, and take the sword of the Spirit. That word sword is Machaira. It's about an 18-inch close combat weapon. It means this. When you're fighting the devil and you've got your faith up there and you're in the word of God and you're in prayer and you're fighting for your family and you're fighting for your ministry. And you're fighting for your brother and sister in Christ, and you're praying, and you're waging the good warfare, and you're slinging it. When you get in close to the enemy, and don't you love this? I don't know about you, but I can get really fired up about this because this is personal in my life. You've got your big Roman sword, and you're lopping and fighting, and you get in close, and what you do is you drop your Roman sword that's like 4.5 feet long. It's really heavy. You drop that thing because your enemy's right in front of you. You've advanced to that point. Gosh, I'm so excited about this. I'm getting Pentecostal, I think. I live in the warfare area of my life. And this is such good news to me. Because as I fight the battle and I get right near the enemy and I can drop my big sword and I pull out my Machaira, my 18-inch killing weapon. Well, guess what? In Ephesians 6:17, that's the word that appears. And it says like this, I'll read it to you. And the sword of the Spirit, which is, or the Machaira of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You get close to that enemy and you're right in there and you're face to face and you're looking at your foe, the devil, in his face. And then you pull out the Machaira and you know what you do? It is the only implement that you have in your armament that will pierce through his girdle. It will go right through his protective areas. Why? Because God made the word of God that sharp. And a Roman soldier back in those days were armed with Machairas. When you got in close, you dropped your big one and you pulled out your little one and you killed that guy. That is the only way we'll be able to slay the temptations that come against our marriage, the temptations that come against our business, the things that are taking place is by the word of God. And I tell you this morning, I am so grateful for the word of God in my life. I would have been dead 1,000 times because of depression and fear if I didn't have the word of God to pull it out and to kill that wicked foe. I shared with you on Wednesday, my kids and I are going through a 102-year-old volume of Pilgrim's Progress that I picked up the other day at a bookstore. And Christian, as he's going through the battles that he's fighting, oh man, you can live it. And for those of you who are walking in the Spirit, you are living it right now. And this is good news that Paul is telling us. But it's a fight of faith. It's a fight invisible. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we live in the world, the cosmos, this world, we do not wage war as the world does, for our weapons that we fight with are not carnal weapons of the world. Contrary to that, they are divine weaponry to the bringing down and to the demolishing of strongholds. It is the word of God that does this. And he says to him that you may wage. I love this. The word wage is to campaign. It is a long, drawn-out campaign. He says to Timothy, by that, by them, that you may be able to endure a long campaign, Timothy, that the good, and that word warfare is strata or career. I like that. Timothy, by leaning back on the laying on of hands that you experienced, you will be able to campaign in your Christian walk and in your ministry, and you will be able to have a successful career fighting. Warren Wiersbe put it this way, God has chosen Timothy and he has sent him, and it was the fact that he had been called that became his assurance in difficult days. Wiersbe went on to say, if you are God's servant and God's child, called by the Spirit, obeying his will, then you will campaign and finish the work. The assurance enabled Timothy, and it will enable you to have a good, strong Christian career. I like that. And so in verse 19, having faith and a good conscience, of which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. This is the believer's personal holiness, that he's to have a good conscience. And that word conscience, defined, simply means this, moral intentions. And this is where Christians go astray so much. And this is where every Christian, the strong and the weak, must battle constantly, and that is their conscience.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's first letter to Timothy. It's a look at chapter 1 as well as other scriptural passages on the importance of continuing to fight the good fight of faith. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we're still in chapter 1 of this first of these two letters. In fact, recently we wrapped up a fascinating series in the book of Acts. Now, Timothy and, of course, Paul are mentioned in the book of Acts, which is an historical narrative. In other words, it goes hand in hand with New Testament letters, largely written by Paul. So it helps us to understand their culture, context, and the issues each letter dealt with. Now, we've condensed this entire series of the book of Acts all onto one MP3 CD. And for your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount, we'll put it into your hands. I'll say that again. For your tax-deductible contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio, of any amount, we'll send you this MP3 CD of Pastor Jack's entire series through the Book of Acts. You can get in touch by calling, clicking, or writing, starting with our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO, or click realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can get in touch with us the traditional way. Write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just mention it by name, the MP3 CD of the Book of Acts. Again, our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.